Good morning, everyone, and welcome back out into the bush. It's still cool this morning, but I tell you what, the smoke is still around. It does make me worry a little bit. I hope and pray that we don't have another bushfire year, which could happen. Have you ever noticed that in our day when something is broken, we throw it out in the trash? Well, I guess that just makes sense. Just throw it out. When it's defective or worn out, we just dump it. After all, we can go out and buy one new. But unfortunately, I do believe that's what we do with people as well. Do we do that? Well, something I want us to consider today. But while we do that, let me ask the question, how did Jesus respond to broken people? How did he focus on them? Did he ignore them? Did he throw them out? How did he respond? And as we consider the things that Jesus did, we need to think, should we change the way we respond to broken people? Is it possible that maybe broken people wouldn't be comfortable around our environment? Do we need to change that? Well, these are things that we're going to look at today. Before we move on, I want you to see this photo. As we've gone through the Gospel of John, it's become clear to me that the Lord's focus really was on broken people. Today we're going to review those people, and then we're going to go outside the Gospel of John and look at some more people, some broken peoples, and some that weren't broken, that Jesus touched. But first, let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for a beautiful day. Lord, I pray you keep the fires down this summer. Send some rain through to water the ground. Now, Lord, use this to challenge us and let it challenge us deeply. In Jesus' name, amen. The first up in our review is Nicodemus. And no, he's not a down and outer. As a matter of fact, he was part of the ruling religious crowd. He is a leader among the Jews, but just because he was a leader didn't mean that Jesus was going to ignore him. I mean, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, all lost, regardless of status in the community. And we know that Jesus was successful because Nicodemus actually helped get Jesus off the cross after he was crucified. I think we'll see Nicodemus in heaven. Next, we have the woman at the well. It's clear that this woman had a reputation problem in her town. She came out to get water in the heat of the day. All the rest of the ladies did that earlier in the day. So her reputation was a bit questionable, and it's far more comfortable for her and probably the ladies back in the community that she go by herself because they were isolating her. But not Jesus. He was different. He made a point to come right to her and speak to her. What can we learn from that? And then Jesus comes and speaks to a city official. This man was in deep trouble. I mean, he was in trouble. His son was sick, and no one could do anything for his son. He was about to die, and this man knew that his son was about to die. He came and spoke to Jesus and said, "Will you heal my son?" And Jesus said those words that he was longing to hear, "Your son will live." And you know what? The boy did just that. Don't forget, though he was a city official, he was in a hopeless situation, and Jesus changed all of that. Then Jesus approaches a man who was an invalid for 38 years. For sure, this guy was hopeless. All he could do was sit and beg and wait to get in the water, and he couldn't get there. Jesus spoke to this man, and he changed his hopeless situation into a situation of hope. He told him, get up and walk away, and he did that. He restored his life. So, is there any question what Jesus thinks of broken and hopeless people? And then we come to Jesus feeding the 5,000 people with a little boy's lunch. And through this miracle, is there any question who Jesus really is? I don't think so. And now we see a very touching scene that we could all learn from. There was a woman justly accused, caught in the act of adultery, and brought before Jesus. And they said, Moses said, stone her. What do you say? Well, after Jesus exposes the hypocrisy of her accusers, he turns to the woman and says, listen, I don't condemn you either. Now you go and sin no more. Jesus changes hopelessness into hope. That's what he does. That's what he's here for. So, is it becoming pretty clear what Jesus thinks of broken and hopeless people? Now we see Jesus speaking to a man that was born blind. It's obvious this man was in trouble. In Jesus' day, you couldn't work to make a living. If you were blind, all you could do was beg. Jesus spits on the dirt, makes some mud, puts it on his eyes, and tells him to go wash it off. And when he did, his blindness was gone. For the first time in his life, he could see. Here was a hopeless cause, and Jesus entered his life and changed the hopelessness to hope. Is he still doing that today? Well, we know that he is. And then let's step outside of the Gospel of John just for a second. There's quite a few things there I want to see. First, Luke chapter 4, Jesus kicks an unclean spirit out of a man. He takes someone who is bound by evil spirits and sets them free. Luke chapter 5, Jesus breaks Jewish law and he approaches a man with leprosy and touches him. Get that? He touched a man with leprosy and healed him, set him free. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus confronts a man that was so possessed by demons that he could not be constrained even with chains. So Jesus goes into a graveyard to find him. Now keep that in mind. He goes to a graveyard to find him. The man was naked and he approaches Jesus. Jesus sets him free and he sends him completely well and in his right mind back to his hometown. Would we go amongst the tombs to find somebody like that? Why wouldn't we? It's a question to think about. Luke chapter 11, Jesus confronts a man who was blind and could not speak, and he was also possessed by a demon, and he sets him free. I think it's getting more and more and more clear what Jesus does with people who are bound or in trouble. And finally, in Luke chapter 17, Jesus is confronted with 10 men with leprosy. These men had been kicked out of their families, they'd been kicked out of their community, and they could never return. They were going to die out in the bush by themselves. It was Jewish law for them to do that. Well, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 13. While traveling to Jerusalem, he passed between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 men with leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Why would they raise their voices and cry out? Well, that's what the Pharisees told them they had to do. But they were also men who were desperate. And in their desperation, they called out for Jesus, "Master, have mercy on us." Well, Jesus responded to their call, and he set them free and changed their lives. Incidentally, they did go to the Pharisees, but only one came back to say thank you. We can learn from that story. Why do you think Jesus focused on people that are broken and bound up? Well, look at Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's why he came. There's another reason. We're going to go back to the book of Psalms. Psalms 34, verse number 18. "The Lord is near the brokenhearted." Yes, that's the ones we've been talking about. He continues, "He saves those crushed in spirit." That's his focus. That's where he was looking, is to change broken people. Should we have the same focus that he did? Should we? Well, I think maybe let's let Jesus answer that question. Jesus told a story about a seed of wheat that fell into the ground and it rotted. And from that rotted mass came a miraculous burst of life. And we know he was talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. But it's the following verses that I want us to focus on. John chapter 12, verse 26. "If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there my servant also will be. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him." Let me read that again. "If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there my servant will also be." That sounds to me like we're supposed to do the same things and have the same focus that he did. What do you think? How can we focus on broken people? How can we do it? Well, let me give some suggestions. First, we need to create an environment that broken people are comfortable coming to. Now, the environment is important. Second, we need to prioritize what they want over what we want. Are we willing to do that? Thirdly, and most importantly, will we give grace to people that we wouldn't normally give grace to? People that we would rather just avoid, will we give grace to them and acceptance regardless of what they've done or where they've been? Would we do that? That is an important question. We need the environment. We need to prioritize what they want, not us. We need to be grace-filled people, willing to give grace to whoever for whatever reason, and let God build them. But first, he'll change their lives. Are we willing to do that? Well, we're going to have a word of prayer. And you may be wondering what this looks like. After we pray, I'm going to let Zach Williams sing a song for you that pretty much paints a picture of how we're supposed to reach broken people and the attitude that we should have. Father, thank you, Lord, for this challenge. You've been challenging me with this one for several years. Lord, is this the time that we start reaching out purposely to the broken people of Warhope? Lord, if this is your time, let your will be done. Father, give us a heart for broken people and people that are in trouble. In Jesus' name, amen.